Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
There is a proposed constitutional amendment in the state of Michigan. If you are listening in Michigan, you need to vote against it. It's Prop 3. Vote no. You're going to find out for the next few minutes of Issues Etc. why you must vote no on that proposition. It would not only codify Roe, it goes far beyond codifying Roe. It would also remove parental consent for the sterilization of minor children. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Joining us to talk about a proposed constitutional amendment in Michigan, Margot Cleveland. She's an attorney and graduate of the Notre Dame Law School. She served for 25 years as a permanent law clerk for a federal appellate court judge, and she's senior legal correspondent for The Federalist. Margot, welcome back.
Thanks so much for having me.
What is Michigan Proposition 3?
So Michigan Proposition 3 is called the Reproductive Rights Amendment, but basically what it does is it amends the Michigan Constitution, and it does so with very broad language. It guarantees a constitutional right in the state for all individuals on all matters that involve pregnancy, including but not limited anything related to infertility treatment, sterilization, birth control, pregnancy loss, and it also provides that there can be no discrimination and that the state cannot regulate anything related to this unless both there's a compelling interest and it does not interfere with the autonomy of the individual. So that's a lot of jargon in there, and because of it, a lot of people don't realize the scope. But it not only guarantees a right to abortion on demand, any reason, any time, but also sterilization, which a lot of people don't think through, but that is the typical first step in gender transition, where young children start using puberty blockers, which will render them temporarily sterile and eventually permanently sterile. And I do want to make one little qualification there, is it does in the amendment speak of viability and say that post-viability that the regulations can be passed, but only if it doesn't interfere with the health, including mental well-being of the mother. And that's key because anything can be considered mental health. I'm stressed out about this. And it doesn't even require a doctor to make that kind of determination. Finally, when you look at viability, if the mother's health is at issue, the appropriate action is, if the child, the baby is viable, is to save both. It's not a matter of, oh, okay, well, because the mother's health's at issue, we're going to kill the baby, because post-viability, the child can survive outside the womb.
How has Prop 3 been marketed to the state's voters?
Prop 3 has been marketed by the governor and Democrats in the state, as well as outside abortion activists, as merely codifying Roe. And you can actually search for that. I wrote an article that went up yesterday where I quote the Democrats actually saying that. And there could be nothing further from the truth. Roe actually wasn't still precedent when Dobbs overturned the federal constitutional right to abortion. It was actually Casey that made clear that the government has an interest in protecting life. And it was a balance. And under the Casey standard, a lot of things were allowed that Michigan currently has. So, for instance, parental consent with a judicial override. But this amendment guts all of that. It's not merely a codifying of will, which is how it is being portrayed.
How does it go beyond codifying will?
So one of the things that it does is it goes beyond codifying will by prohibiting the government from passing any regulation of abortion unless there is a compelling interest. And there's a really good summary that I've linked to in my piece that was written by Elizabeth Kirk, who is a constitutional scholar. She put it together where she said, when you use that standard, this compelling governmental interest standard, it means very few, if any, restrictions will survive a court challenge. And we don't have to guess at this because we've seen other states look at it. They have struck down parental consent, parental notification rules. They have struck down informed consent, waiting periods. They have held that you must have taxpayer funding of abortions. So under the Roe Casey line, the state, even though it could not prohibit pre-viability abortions, could still do lots to regulate with the goal of making sure that if a woman was going to have an abortion, that she had the knowledge of fetal development of what the risks would be. The parents would be informed and would be required to consent. And that you could have other protections of making sure doctors who were trained and had facilities that were clean and safe were involved. If the voters in Michigan pass Prop 3, those types of rules are out the window. And even beyond that, as I mentioned, and this is what would shock most parents in Michigan, is this isn't just about abortion. This gives a constitutional right to individuals without discrimination. So you can't discriminate based on age, to sterilization. And the first step of a gender transition is sterilization through puberty blockers. And then the later ones, castration and either hysterectomies, removal of ovaries, all of those fall in the plain language of this amendment.
You say that your reading of Prop 3 is not a worst case scenario. What do you mean by that?
So oftentimes when either constitutional amendments or statutes are proposed, people look at it and say, okay, what is the worst thing that could happen if you have an activist judge or justice interpreting it? And what I'm saying is that's not what we're even looking at here. This isn't a scenario of, well, an activist judge or justice might say this statute or this amendment means that a minor has the right to puberty blockers. I'm telling you, this is what the actual language of the amendment says. Anyone can look at it. It says individual. It says without discrimination. And it says sterilization. You don't need an activist judge to extend it beyond what it says to reach some extreme reading of the statute. This is a matter of pure, straight, plain language interpretation of the Constitution, the constitutional amendment, the language. And this is something that I did for 25 years working for a federal appellate judge, where I would look at what does the language say. This is clear. And we also, in the context of abortion and those various provisions that I mentioned that would be struck, this isn't a matter of what's the worst case scenario. This is a matter of what have the courts said when they've interpreted this similar language in other states. So we're not speculating. We're trying to tell the moms and dads in Michigan, this is what the language says. We're not making anything up. We're not saying, oh, you better watch out, this is a slippery slope. The language is clear. All you have to do is read what the language is and then consider what that means in the real world.
How does the current Michigan law, you mentioned some of it before, but how does it read regarding minors and medical treatment?
In Michigan currently, any medical treatment or prescription medications, you have to be an adult to consent. Or if you are not an adult, meaning 18, you need parental consent. That's uniform. The only exception that's been carved out for that has been in the context of abortion. And that has been because under the Supreme Court precedent of Roe and Casey, minors had to be able to make that decision without the state mandating parental consent in the context of having a judicial bypass. So in Michigan, minors still need consent to an abortion, but they have the ability to go to a judge and establish either that they are mature enough to make the decision or that it is in the minor's best interest. Nothing in Michigan law would allow a minor to make a decision about getting puberty blockers or having any surgical sterilization taking place. This amendment amends the Constitution of Michigan, and Michigan's Constitution will trump any statutes in place regarding parental consent for medical procedures. So the general rule that you need to be 18 or have parental consent for medical procedures will not apply any longer on any of the issues set forth in Prop 3, which includes sterilization.
Would the state have any way to regulate abortion if Prop 3 passes?
If Prop 3 passes, the state's ability to regulate abortion and abortion providers would be virtually non-existent. There would be maybe some realms where they could say that a person has to have some basic medical training, whether it's as a nurse or as a physician. And here what the law does is it says, well, what is the standard of care? And here it's important for your listeners to recognize that the major medical associations are very pro-abortion. They push for having procedures, medicines, telemarketed, but via teleconference appointments with nurses, with other people who are not physicians providing the abortion or the abortion medications. So when we look at what types of regulation, there could still be some regulations about who can either prescribe abortion drugs or perform abortions, but it's going to be much broader than what the law is now, which was a requirement for physicians to provide it. And it's going to be based on whatever the pro-abortion medical community decides you need. So that'll be about the limit of what you can have for regulation of abortions.
How have parental consent laws generally fared in blue states?
In blue states, most of the states do not require parental consent. In the red states, typically it's parental consent with a judicial bypass.
What does current Michigan law say about the sterilization of minors, if anything?
Currently, Michigan law would prohibit sterilization of minors without parental consent. Now, that would allow for transition, and when I'm using transition, please know I'm using my, not scare quotes, but my fake quotes, because obviously you can't transition or change your sex. But in Michigan, with a parental consent, you could undergo sterilization procedures, which is starting to change in other states where they're saying, no, even with parental consent, this cannot take place. This is something that is making a lifelong decision for a minor that is not appropriate even for a parent to decide. So currently, Michigan does not allow it without parental consent.
What have some states done to prevent minors from being transitioned?
So as I was just mentioning there, you'll have laws that say that a minor, even with parental consent, cannot undergo puberty blockers or any type of surgery that would render them infertile or would otherwise mutilate them.
Margo Cleveland is our guest. We're talking about a proposed constitutional amendment in Michigan that removes parental consent for abortion and gender transition for minors. When we come back, what role has the abortion industry, in particular Planned Parenthood, played in the development and promotion of Prop 3?
If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University, Chicago.
Indeed, the quest for truth is at the core of a university's purpose. The liberal arts, illuminated by the revealed truths of Scripture, are powerful for equipping students for a life of self-governance. A disciple is one who follows the master. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? He said that it means to take up one's cross. The cross is thus the symbol of dying for others, of dying to self for the sake of serving others. And a life of service is a life well lived.
Truth, freedom, vocation. Concordia University, Chicago. CUChicago.edu. Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Margo Cleveland, senior legal correspondent for The Federalist, about a propositional amendment to the Michigan Constitution that would remove parental consent for both abortion and gender transition for minors. Margo, what role has the abortion industry played in the development and promotion of Prop 3 in Michigan?
So Planned Parenthood, along with the ACLU and I believe a couple other abortion advocate organizations, were responsible for putting together the draft of the language and having the proposition, gathering the signatures to get it on the ballot. And of course, they're doing a lot to try to have the proposal approved with a yes vote. So they're heavily marketing it to get people to vote yes. And they're doing so in a very deceptive way by, again, focusing on Roe and saying, oh, this is codifying Roe. And they're also trying to present a no vote as an extremist vote, saying that this would prevent a victim of rape from obtaining an abortion. And unfortunately, we are losing the ability to discuss this honestly, that yes, a victim of rape, it is a horrible situation. But the reason abortion is wrong is not because a woman consented to sex, but because another human life is involved.
I was listening to National Public Radio this morning, Margo, and of course, Illinois, the state where I reside, is a mecca for the abortion industry. They are now openly in their public statement saying that they want to increase accessibility in our state for both abortion and what they call gender-affirming treatments. Why is Planned Parenthood getting into the transition business?
the same reason they were in the abortion business, because they love money and apparently they love destroying children, whether it's mutilation before or after birth. But it is a cash cow market. In fact, even more so than abortion. You might have frequent people who are having multiple abortions, but when you are talking about gender, quote, affirming care, this is lifetime hormones that are required. And that is money that is going to be printed for Planned Parenthood. And this is not just speculation. They are, I believe, the number two provider in the country of gender treatment now. If you look at Michigan, they already have 12 centers in Michigan alone that provide gender treatment. And if you pull up the webpage, what does it explain for the gender treatment? It's exactly what I said, these types of drugs that will render individuals sterile. So it is becoming a cash cow marketing for Planned Parenthood. You're seeing it where they're running ads targeting children to come and get these. And you are also seeing, like Illinois, Michigan becoming kind of the abortion mecca, where we had, I heard it on the local radio station here, that they said some of their centers are 2 and 3 times the number of out-of-state abortion patients are in Michigan now. This prop is going to just make it even more so than it was currently.
On a different subject, can you tell us about a lawsuit that's being brought by Philadelphia residents regarding taxpayer-funded abortion in that city?
So this is a story that has not gotten much traction, but the city of Philadelphia made a donation of $500,000 to a nonprofit organization that funds abortions. And they did this with tax dollars that were part of their general fund that involved both federal funds, state funds, as well as city funds. And because of that, some local taxpayers filed a lawsuit and says, this violates our state right that our tax dollars will not be used to pay for abortions, as well as the Hyde Amendment. And this is a rather interesting case for several reasons. In this case, it was a city that did the transfer. So the city basically said, hey, we've got $500,000 in tax money that we're going to give to this private nonprofit that's going to then pay for abortions. And what it did, though, was it used money that was commingled with money that cannot be used for abortions. I also think it's rather interesting because it shows, again, we're not talking about codifying Roe. And we can argue about whether Roe was good or bad, and I would obviously say it was bad precedent and bad policy. But we are having abortion activists lie about what their goals are. Their goals are abortion on demand for any reason, and paid for with tax dollars. And here you see it perfectly, that it is tax dollars that are trying to be used to pay for abortion. So the question here is going to be, can the city of Philadelphia use these dollars and pay for abortions?
Why do abortion proponents appear at this point to be going for broke on abortion on so many fronts?
I think that they're going for broke because they think now is the time that the public can be basically confused, manipulated to voting for all of this under the guise of codifying Roe. So at this point in time, what does the public understand? They understand that Roe has been overturned. They don't understand that that means that there can be regulation of abortion as decided by the voters. And what you have is the left using this kind of short gap of knowledge to go for broke, because they know if they don't do it now, what is going to happen is you're going to have reasonable restrictions of abortion passed that 80% of the public agrees with, And they will never overturn that. So what do? They say you're voting to codify Roe. You're voting to put Roe back on the books. But what are they really doing? Their end goal of abortion on demand, anytime, any reason, by anyone, with no informed consent, no parental consent, and paid for by taxpayers. Because by saying codifying Roe, they're getting their end goal without ever having the public vote on it. Because once it's in the Constitution, it is going to be much harder to get it out of.
Do we know the prospects of Prop 3 in Michigan?
Actually, I'm not sure of what the current polling is on it. And unfortunately, even in Kansas, which is one of the most pro-life states, this kind of bait and switch, this codifying Roe, the scare tactics about your 12-year-old raped daughter worked. And the voters voted to keep a constitutional right to abortion on demand. So I am not sure of what the current polling is, but I am very worried because we saw how the manipulation of what the truth is, how it worked out in Kansas. So I really am working hard for the next 3 weeks to get the word out so that people realize this is an extreme constitutional amendment. If this fails, the people can still vote for legislators. They can still have a say in what the restrictions are. And I'm hoping that I can convince people that while there might be some extreme horrible situations, that abortion always kills another human life, and that that's what the law in Michigan should recognize. And also that when we're talking about transgender treatment, mutilation of children is never an appropriate treatment.
Margo Cleveland is an attorney and graduate of the Notre Dame Law School. She served for 25 years as a permanent law clerk for a federal appellate court judge, and she's senior legal counsel for The Federalist. You'll find a link to her columns at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Margo, thanks.
Thank you so much.
Friday on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Marjorie Dannenfelser about federal pro-life legislation. We'll discuss supporting single people in the congregation with Pastor Peter Bender. And Dr. John Bamboro will join us for a teaching on modern stoicism and the gospel. If you're listening in Michigan, this is a no-brainer, and this is a Thus Saith the Lord. You must vote against this threat to children, Proposition 3. Just vote no. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
You can help save lives in Southern Illinois by participating in 40 Days for Life, September 28th through November 6th. Vigils will be held outside abortion facilities at Granite City, Carbondale, and Fairview Heights, Illinois. For information on Granite City, visit 40daysgc.com. To learn more about Carbondale and Fairview Heights, go to coalitionforlife.com. You can protect mothers and children by joining the worldwide effort of 40 Days for Life, September 28th through November 6th.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muscoota, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments, where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muscoota, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuscoota.com.